Yo, what up? Welcome to the Twice Over Film Club. I'm your host, Faraz. You'll notice once again that we've switched up our release schedule. We'll be releasing episodes every Monday, alternating between the preview and the full episode. We just want to be able to have a schedule that we know we can sustain at a regular cadence. Hopefully this will give you more time to keep up with what we're watching so you don't fall behind in all of our episodes. So today is our preview episode on A Prophet, 2009 French film. This movie is available to rent or buy on all major streaming platforms. This episode is spoiler free, so if you haven't seen it, keep listening to get an idea about it and see if you're interested. The full episode will be out next week, so make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen. Alright, let's go. I'm with Yusuf and Fahad for this one. Yeah, Yusuf, is this your first time watching it?
This is my first time watching it.
Ooh-wee. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, well, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Why you recommended it?
I mean, I'm gonna just admit to ignorance here. I feel like I'm missing a lot, and I just like wasn't getting it. But like, just from like a 10-second Google, you can see like how many people are like ecstatic about this movie. So like, I need to hear more. Like,
Interesting. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? A 10-second Google?
Yeah. I just looked at reviews, and it's like, Ebert gave it 4 stars. Every major place gave it a good rating. Even like Rotten Tomatoes, it has like an 89 audience score, so it's not just like critics. I didn't see really much bad about it. So
gotcha. Ooh. Yeah, it's like
not that I disliked it. Like that is some high praise coming uniformly. So
right.
Okay. Well, Yusuf, I'll say this. I liked it like 100 times more this time around. Like, it went from me thinking it was a good movie to like right now thinking it was like masterful. Like, I loved it. So maybe you need a second watch like in 9 years.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know in 2029 if the world is still around at this rate. But you know, I think maybe a second watch would help.
Did you appreciate it for like the gangster movie that it was? You know, similar to like Godfather or Goodfellas.
I think so. It's like almost a mashup of like a Goodfellas type movie and Shawshank. I felt like there's like some Shawshank influence coming.
But it's
neither that story. It's neither story, right? It's neither the Goodfellas story. It's not the Shawshank story quite.
It's not sentimental at all, like Shawshank.
Right, exactly. There's no sentimentality, and there's no the main character is just so different from Dufresne, right? So there's a lot of different treatment that you get to experience. But I felt like just in terms of the tone and everything, there's kind of elements of both.
Mm. All right. Yeah, so obviously we are talking about A Prophet, 2009 film. This is a foreign language film. I guess it's French/Arabic. It's a French production, though, directed by Jacques Audiard. Man, I wish I could do a French accent.
Jacques Audiard. I don't know.
There you go.
No, that was
not Jacques. It's definitely Jacques.
I think Jacques. The S's we can say pretty safely is not pronounced.
Okay, there we go. Roz, you got it right.
Jacques Audiard. All right, we'll go with that. It's directed by him. Also, 2009, I didn't realize it was as old as it was. I don't know why. I thought it was like a more recent film. The movie is about a very young 19-year-old Arab man who is sentenced to prison for 6 years. I'm not sure where in France. Is it somewhere in Paris, I think? I assumed it was Paris.
Yeah, I'm assuming near one of the major cities, right? It feels very urban.
Yeah, and he's more or less he's alone, this 19-year-old man. His name is Malik. He has no one really outside in the normal world. He doesn't know anyone in prison. He's kind of like, he's just on his own. And basically, we're gonna live through his experience in prison and how he gets by.
Mm-hmm. So with him being such a young character, this movie almost is a kind of a coming of age story. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I think it qualifies actually. Yeah. As right? It's not what you typically want to see in a coming of age movie, or it's just not what you expect to see.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, this is obviously just the subject matter is going to be much darker. But it is, right? It is a coming of age story, and it's, you know, you can't deny that there are plenty of people, young, you know, young adults in their teens, that this is how they grow up and this is how they get initiated into adulthood, right? It's not the prettiest thing. It's not the, you know, graduating from high school one last summer to, you know, capture our dreams.
Yeah.
Well, I would say coming of age is usually, you know, the innocence of a person,
right,
being snatched away from them. And usually it's, you know, not in circumstances like this where the innocence is being snatched away in prison.
Or I'd put it this way. Most coming of age stories, they're very optimistic and happy and whatnot. This is just like bleak, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can see straight, like if you're just drawing parallels, it's like there always is kind of this, like, you know, these horrible, you know, there are these like outcomes that are, you know, looming on the horizon that you're afraid of, or are that, you know, that are terrifying. But like, you know, the context or the magnitude of those is always like, oh, I'm going to go off to college. Me and my girlfriend aren't getting along, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stakes are low, right?
Right. I'm being mean. But yeah, it's like the stakes are very low. this is like the same thing. I mean, you know, there are the same elements at play, but the stakes are just much higher. And so, I mean, I guess I feel kind of like I'm very emphatic about the fact that this should qualify as a coming of age movie. Like it has to, because like it really is that story for a population that probably doesn't. I mean, this story gets told, but kind of the way this is told as a, you know, in that same vein as a coming of age story, I kind of like that look at it.
So you guys know I love coming of age stuff. And it'll be reflected in my score. Okay, so let's go on to our scores. We'll start with the narrative category. I'm gonna give this a 90.
I give it a 95.
90.
All right, so we all actually really like the narrative here. I mean, how did you guys weigh the direction?
Like the direction was excellent. So I want to get into the story a little bit, right? Is the story completely unique? No. Is the genre defining the story? No, right? But it's so well observed. Everything with the camera work and observing like prison life, I don't know. It's like a master class in like how we get to experience what Malik is going through.
I think there's like really good insight into what he's internally feeling, and they do a good job. The direction does a good job of making sure that's maintained on the screen in a lot of different ways. Story-wise, I feel like it kept me on my toes. I mean, you know, like I said, because they borrow from several different genres and it's kind of a mashup, I never really was satisfied that I knew where it was going. And I think in the end, I really didn't. So I was intrigued the entire way through for that reason.
So yeah, for me, the direction, like Fahad said, the story, it's not all that different from what you might expect from other prison type movies or crime related movies. But the direction is what made it really unique in terms of the presentation of the story. I thought was, I don't know another movie that presents it in such a gritty manner.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the writing score here. I gave it a 75.
I gave it an 85.
80.
Okay. So we're in a 10 score span.
This is, again, I just want to put the disclaimer that, you know, I put on pretty much every foreign film that we watch like this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bringing the proper, you know, tone and context into the dialogue is very, very difficult with subtitles. So we're kind of at the mercy of whoever, you know, produces the subtitles in order to do that for us. And a lot of it probably gets lost. And, as an additional layer, this movie has at least three different languages that they speak in throughout this movie.
Yeah.
So that only, you know, amps up the difficulty that much more. So, you know, this movie might have been 100 and we just didn't get it. Also, it could have been a 60 and we got the benefit of some really good subtitles. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the acting. Here, I give it an 85.
I give it a 90.
75 for me.
Ooh.
I thought
lowest score amongst us.
I thought the actor playing Malik, Daher Rahim, was was amazing. I also thought the guy playing Riyadh, what was that? Adel Ben Sharif. These guys played the part really well. And with and specifically to Taher Rahim, he really reminded me of Robert De Niro from Godfather Part 2.
Oh,
the young De Niro. He was copying his mannerisms in every way, with the mustache, the way he would touch his face. I was like, dude, this guy probably watched that movie a million times to prepare for this role.
Not Taxi Driver, because there were overall similarities between the two movies, but that one. All right.
Yeah, Godfather Part 2 specifically, only because, again, it also fits the genre in a way.
Yeah. All right. I see it.
I mean, I think maybe... I'm not low. I'm above average, but I'm certainly the lowest. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't actually love Tahar Rahim. That's the name, Tahar Rahim, right? I didn't necessarily love his performance. I don't think he heard it. I actually did really like the performance by Adel Ben Sharif, right, for Riyadh. The character that the actor that played Luciani, Niels Arstrup. I thought his performance was really good as well. But they weren't the main characters, so I mean, I did enjoy it, but I guess I didn't feel like I got that much depth out of the acting, as much as from the dialogue and a lot of the cinematic choices. And we'll talk about the cinematic choices, but I think there was a lot of emphasis and making sure you knew what was going on in his head, but I just didn't feel like it was coming from his acting necessarily, as it was, the director's heavy hand, which I thought was well used, but, you know, just trying to look at where I'm getting the perspective from, I thought it was coming mostly from elsewhere as far as I really enjoyed about it.
You know what? I kind of agree. His Taher Rahim's performance is a little bit enigmatic, right? He's kind of holding back. I think the reason why the director went with this choice and the actor did as well, he's supposed to be like an empty canvas for us to like put our own emotions into, right? So at times when I was thinking, what is this guy thinking? What are his motivations? It engaged me more because I didn't know exactly what was going on with this guy.
Yeah.
He's a little mysterious.
Right.
And I mean, the character himself is as well, because he has no real past either.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to move on to the themes now. Here I give it a 70.
I give it an 80.
80 for me as well.
So yeah, this movie is pretty minimal on themes, right? It's mostly about the story. The reason I gave it a little bit of an above average score was it involves some themes with the coming of age story and then a little bit of existentialist thought that we can get into later in the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one that I feel like that score may go up more and more the more I think about it. It's not your typical coming of age story, obviously, but it's also not the typical coming of age story thematically speaking. I think there is some really interesting context there that, you know, we'll dive into later, but I do think that they kind of have a different take on what that entails. So I liked it from that standpoint, and you know, maybe the more I might think about it, I'll even go higher. But
all right, last category. Let's talk about aesthetics. Here I gave it a 90.
I give it an 85.
Hey guys, I gave it a 50.
Oh, what?
We're the same group that did Lighthouse, right? And
yeah,
I shitted on the aspect ratio. This movie is a perfect example of how you can do confinement claustrophobia without ruining an aspect ratio and keeping it widescreen.
Yeah, okay, for sure.
Perhaps, but...
But that's not the only reason I went so high, but go ahead.
You saw the aspect ratio was good and you're like, done. Done with my aesthetic score. I would say just... While that may be true, it certainly doesn't deliver the amount of claustrophobia that The Lighthouse did, in my opinion, at least. I don't know that I appreciated a lot about the aesthetics. I thought, without going into it too much, I think I felt like there was a lot of different disconnected choices being made aesthetically speaking. So like a lot of different moments had totally different aesthetic choices, and I didn't really get that there was a strong reason for them to do that. So then it felt disconnected. And then secondly, I thought that the the music choices were really strange. Okay. Not even that I disliked all of the music choices, just like that I just didn't think they made a lot of sense.
In terms of like fit, right?
Yeah, in terms of fit, exactly.
What did you think of the camera work? Because at times it's like moving independently of Malik, and it's like it's handheld, and it's got like this voyeuristic eye. And what I mean by that, it's like it's just like observing, you know?
It's observing, but in a disoriented way. Is like how
you put it. Okay.
Yeah, basically, that's how I even like was internalizing it. It's like I'm not supposed to totally be focused here. Like it's like there's something else that's taking your attention away that needs your attention as well. It's tricky. I thought it was very well done.
There were moments where it's almost like it feels like it's another prisoner in the room, the camera, that is, right?
Yeah.
And it's moving of its own volition, and it's kind of just it's in the moment. It's in one of these rooms with these other prisoners. I think I appreciated at least some components of it. Maybe I was a little bit harsh, but oh well.
All right, so as far as our overall tallies go, Fahad really liked this movie. His comes out to an 86, mine to an 82. Yusuf still likes it quite a bit. It's at 79. Our clear winner in terms of the which element was highest rated by us is the narrative. Then comes our acting. And then, I mean, other than the narrative, really, we're kind of middle of the road, average, slightly above average. Only like the narrative and the story and direction we thought was great.
I mean, but we're consistently above average on everything too. I think we're all within 5 or 10 on pretty much everything, other than aesthetics. So yeah, like I'm looking at my scores and like I'm high on everything about this movie other than aesthetics. Maybe not as high as you guys, but like, and like I said, maybe I'm just like missing some context there. But really, like I think even for a first watch, like it was very engaging. For a movie that long, I'm surprised I wasn't more bored. Even if I thought that there was some things that they could have done without, you really don't lose your attention, you know, from start to finish.
Thanks for listening to this production of The Twice Over. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and sharing it with a friend. Want to see what your tally is? Check out thetwiceover.com. All the movies we've done are listed there, as well as what we're watching for the current week. Follow us at The Twice Over on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you can leave us any suggestions, feedback, or comments. And if you're about it, you can also support us on Patreon. The music you hear on this podcast is from Amerigo Gazaway. You can find his work on Bandcamp and Spotify.